the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take anything away from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. The second reading is from James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Do you have any traditions that were part of your childhood that you have carried over and are part of your life currently? I grew up with a Sunday tradition of always going to church at the last service. And when I was a child, that last service was at noon. And I still like to keep that schedule when I'm on vacation or visiting family. What tradition do you have from your youth that you continue today? Maybe something around a holiday or a day of the week. Tell the person sitting next to you a tradition from your youth that you carry on to today. Something that you did as a child that you still do? One of my favorite tradition stories is one that you've probably heard. It's called the Easter ham. A little girl was watching her mother prepare the Easter ham, and as she was getting ready to put it into the pot, she cut one end of the meat off, and then she cut the other end of the ham off. And the girl said, "Mom, why do you cut that meat before you cook it?" And she said, "Well, because this is the way my mother always cooked the Easter ham." So they called Grandma and said, "Grandma, how come you cut the end of the ham off before you cook it?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. I just cook it the same way that my mother taught me." And so they called Great-Grandma and said, "Great-Grandma, how come you always cut the end of the Easter ham before you cook it?" And she said, "Oh, well, because it would only fit in the pan. I only had assumptions that are different than we think they might be." Sometimes if we look closely at our traditions, we see truths that we didn't expect. When I was small and our family tradition was that noon service, I thought it was because we really wanted that lazy morning and a time to read the funny papers. By the time I hit middle school and my father's drinking had become more of an issue, I understood that the lazy Sunday mornings had more to do with the hangover and less to do with the newspaper. I don't know if other people looked at our family tradition with judgment, but I do know that you cannot always tell what's in a person's heart by observation. In our gospel reading today, Jesus has to deal with the Pharisees again. Those religious leaders were watching everything that Jesus did and everything that his disciples did, waiting for them to make some kind of an offense, to catch them in some way. And one day the Pharisees did notice something. The disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. The Pharisees believed that this tradition is a law, and that it demands that people wash their hands, and they have proof now that Jesus and his disciples are willfully abandoning this tradition, and therefore they're breaking the law. Why do your disciples eat without washing their hands as the law requires? Why aren't you keeping the traditions of our ancestors? And Jesus tells the Pharisees with a quote from the prophet Isaiah that they are phonies. They profess God with their lips, but their heart isn't in it. They're ready to ignore the law when it suits them, and they choose which traditions to observe and which
to ignore as they want. And Jesus turns to the crowd and says something very powerful. It's not what one puts in the mouth that matters. Rather, it's what comes out of the mouth. On Thursday nights at our 6:30 communion service, we read the gospel from Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message. And this passage is very graphic in The Message. Verse 15 says, "It's not what you swallow that pollutes your life. It's what you vomit. That's the real pollution. It's what comes from the heart, from the interior, that really matters." I think it's part of our sinful nature, but humans really like to judge one another. And most often we judge others by the basis of an exterior, by what we see. This person is good, this person is bad. We looked at Lance Armstrong and we saw a guy who whipped cancer, who won 7 Tour de France comp titles, and then we learned that he cheated his way to those titles. We saw Bill Cosby as a great comedian, a father figure, an excellent educator, and then we learned those allegations of sexual abuse. Not everything is what it seems to be. Jesus seems to always be showing people that what's on the inside, on the outside, is not as important as what's on the inside. He reaches out and befriends people like the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, the cheating tax collector, the outcasts of society, people that your mother warned you not to hang out with, but people whose hearts were open to hear Jesus. He reprimands the Pharisees because they just wanted to show themselves as respected members of society. But Jesus knows their hearts, and he shows them to be less than the upstanding citizens. These Pharisees criticized the disciples of Jesus for failing to keep the traditions. They're drawing dividing lines. Those who are good people, like themselves, on one side, and those who are not, like the disciples of Jesus, on the other side. They're drawing lines of exclusion rather than circles of inclusion. Jesus tells everyone, the Pharisees and the disciples, he tells everyone, stop judging others' behavior. Don't be so concerned about behavior. Look what's behind your own behavior. That's where the trouble is. That's where the core is. Jesus says to us sinners, get new hearts. Clean hearts, hearts of flesh rather than hearts of stone. Behavior problems have its root in your heart problem. It's not the them on the other side of our lines that are the danger or the evil. It's right here. That's where the danger is. The heart problem is the part of us that wants to judge, to draw lines, to exclude others. But Jesus invites us to come to him, to let him draw us into his circle of inclusion, his circle of mercy and forgiveness, his circle of peace and love. Jesus invites us to practice a tradition, to come to this table and eat, to come to this table and receive his body and blood that is given for you. Come to this table and be nourished and strengthened so that you can go and love the body of Christ, all those other sinners like yourself. that Jesus loves and cares for. St. Augustine said that when you come to the table, listen to the word, the body of Christ given for you. And then in your mind, remember who you are, the body of Christ. Be what you eat. Be the body of Christ as you eat the body of Christ, and you are the body of Christ for the sake of the world. They say you are what you eat, and this is true. Amen.